We have a responsibility to give our children deep roots. And one of the best ways to give your child deep roots is to make them realize they are loved unconditionally.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will be bringing the fifth in a series of messages entitled Secrets to a Happy Home. Pastor Grant has taken these messages from the text of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 4, where the Apostle Paul presents the divine model for how the family is intended by the Creator to operate in a way that will bring glory to God and peace and blessing to the household of faith. In these messages, we have heard God's counsel to the family in general. We have heard messages on God's counsel to wives, to husbands, and to children. Last week, Pastor Grant's message dealt with the crucial issue of how God intends for fathers to relate with their children. Now, this evening, Pastor Grant will use the same text to point out three keys for raising children, once again, according to God's design for a happy home. So we invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Secrets to a Happy Home, Part 5. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The story is told of a father who died, and when he went to heaven, he saw two lines. Now you can understand this is for illustration, and there you will not find these two lines when you make it there. Amen? But this dad, he found two lines in heaven. Over one line was a sign, and the sign read, this line, all fathers who are dominated by their wives, stand here. Well, under that sign, that line stretched for miles. There was another line, and the sign for that line, it read, all fathers who were not dominated by their wives, stand here. There was only one man in the line. So the new arrival, this man who had just arrived in heaven, he was so impressed. He went over to this one man standing in the line for fathers who were not dominated by their wives. And he said to him, I am so impressed. What qualified you to stand in this line? He said, what's the secret to your success? How did you do it? The man looked at him. He was so puzzled as to what this man was talking about. He said, I'm only standing in this line because my wife told me to join this line. You know, that might be humorous. But when it comes to raising children, we fathers must take the lead. For as the head of the home, God has given us the primary responsibility to bring up our children. And I hope you're listening to me really good. As the head of the home, God has given us fathers the primary responsibility to bring up our children. Today, as I said, we're on part 5 of the series entitled Secrets to a Happy Home. And on the reverse side of today's notes, you'll see the 4 points we have made so far. And I'm not going to take the time to go over them. I encourage you, if you're just joining the series, to make sure you get a CD or a DVD of the series, or that you visit online to catch up. But here's point number 5, which is what I want to bring to your attention today. And you can write this down. God's design for a happy home is also a home where parents bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And last week we spent significant time warning us fathers, reminding us how susceptible we are to making our children angry. He says, do not provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The verse provides three child-raising keys, and I'd like to share those three child-raising keys with you this morning. And some of you are grandparents, some of you are parents, some of you are expectant parents. I hope you'll take note, because we're going to be as practical as possible today as we discuss these three child-raising keys that are right here in this one little verse. Our children require, number one, key one, our children require nurturing. In verse 4, the New King James Version uses the term bring them up, but in Ephesians 5:29, the same Greek word that's translated bring them up is translated nourish in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. So here's what the apostle wants us to understand. Parent, get this. To bring up our children means we must nourish or nurture our children. We must nourish or nurture our children. That's key one. We must nurture our children. Every child requires nurturing. There's a whole lot I could say about that, but I want to leave you with three important ingredients of nurturing. Number one, nurturing includes providing the child with the basic necessities. Write that word down, the necessities. Nurturing includes providing the child with the basic necessities of life. Amen. You can put that down as they bring it up on the screen for us. Food, shelter, clothing, and education. Amen. Parents, make sure you're doing everything to ensure your kids get a healthy meal every day. I raise this because sadly, the world in which we are in, they tell us that childhood diabetes is on the rise. And the reason that childhood diabetes is on the rise is because parents are just so busy, they don't have time to give their children healthy meals. Listen, nurturing your child requires that you make sure that child gets healthy meals every single day. Amen. Don't fill them up with the junk. But despite their desire, some parents don't have the resources to properly feed their child every day. I don't know if you know this, but 1 in 6 American children, that's over 12 million children in the United States, deal with hunger every single day. Did you realize that? 1 in 6 deal with hunger every day. And so I want to talk to parents, making you realize this is your primary responsibility to make sure these children are being healthy, receive healthy meals. You prepare for them. But if it's possible that you don't have the resources to feed them, well, I want to tell you something that we may not have plainly said here at GCA before. But GCA, hey, if you are here and you cannot afford to feed your family, this church will help you. Listen, we might be able to feed the whole neighborhood, but we certainly can feed every child who needs help in this church. And if you're a parent, you don't have the resources to make sure your child is eating healthily, you come and let us know. We will partner with you, because every child who comes through these doors ought to be able to eat a healthy meal every single day. We have the responsibility of providing and nurturing our children in the four necessities of life. But listen, one of those necessities is education. I'm just going to hit this one and then I'm going to move on. Parents, your child's education is primarily your responsibility. It ain't the government's responsibility. I talk to teachers, I speak to principals, and they tell me that some of our folks, when it's time for the parent-teachers conference, the child doesn't even show up. When it's time for the PTA, you don't even show up. You have no engagement. It is your responsibility. Part of nurturing your child, come on now, part of nurturing is requiring that you must make sure your child is getting a good education. And I want to challenge the fathers, because fathers, it is the fathers. Because sometimes we say, we fathers say, I don't have to go. But fathers, we are the ones, he says, fathers, you bring these children up. Mama, she sometimes will go, but sometimes, I don't know if you know it, but when in some neighborhoods, it's rare you'll ever see a daddy at a parent-teacher's meeting. Dads, do you show up? Dad, do you show up? Don't answer me. But you have the primary responsibility of bringing up your children. And I know some of what I'm saying may go against the grain, and this may not what fathers are accustomed to hearing, but this is what the Bible is suggesting. And once again, you know, in our neighborhood, we are very much aware that in our neighborhood, some of the children are behind in critical areas. They're behind in reading. They're behind in math. They're behind in stuff. We are aware that some of the kids in our church are behind, and we must do something to help. And that's why this morning I'm calling this special meeting of parents. And those of you who have been in the education field, we want to see, we want to come up with a plan as to what can GCA do to help. We are willing to invest the resources, but parents, no matter how much we support you and help you, you had better recognize it's your responsibility. So the Bible tells us, hey, we must nurture our children. And one aspect of that has to do with providing the necessities. But another aspect of nurturing requires unconditional love. Put that in your notes. Unconditional love. Parents have a responsibility to give their children roots. We have a responsibility to give our children deep roots. And one of the best ways to give your child deep roots is to make them realize they are loved unconditionally. You know, I spoke to a dad, and he was an amazing provider. And he was an amazing provider, but when it came to love, showing love, demonstrating love, nah, he wasn't there at all. And so I was saying to him, I said, you know, it might be a good idea for you to every now and then take your son to a game, or sometime take the kids to the park, or to the movie or something. He said, nah. He said he was totally focused. He wanted to make sure he could work as much overtime as possible so he could make as much money as possible to give them the best education possible, to buy the best toys that they could buy. He was going to give them everything. And so he really got upset with me when I asked him, when last did you tell your children that you love them? Oh, he was upset by that. He says, Pastor, he said, if I have to tell my children I love them after all I have done for them, there would be a very ungrateful bunch of children if I had to tell them I love them. When last have you told your children that you love them? And do your children realize that you love them unconditionally?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, I've met parents who have the idea that the best way to raise your children is not to make them feel the love is unconditional, because it suits you. What you need to do is to let your children feel that if they misbehave, if they embarrass the family, you'll kick them out of the family. And so the whole idea is, I better keep them on edge, because if they're on edge, they will behave better. But if they know that no matter what they will do, I will still love them. They may mess up. If that's your idea, you've got it so wrong. Put on the screen for me 1 John 4:18. I'm going to put it on the screen. 1 John 4:18. And here's what it says. There's what? There is what? No fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If your idea of trying to get your kid to behave is to make them fear that they may lose your love, that ain't love. And if you're going to help your children get deep roots, they need to realize that mom, dad loves me with an unconditional love. Nothing I can ever do will make me lose their love. Amen? But nurture requires your time. Dr. James Dobson asked this question. He says, how does a child spell love? You want the answer? Here's how a child spells love. T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. That's how a child spells love. The child needs what? Help me. Time. Of course, some so-called social scientists, they will tell you that what the child needs is quality time. And I'm so glad that my wife straightened me out, and you heard me tell you this before, because I was being influenced by this foolishness about quality time. And my wife said, how is the poor child going to know it's quality time? You're going to put up a sign saying, here comes quality time. She said, for a child, quality time is quantity time. And every parent needs to get that, because we're fooling ourselves. The society is tricking us and fooling us into believing, oh, give the child a half hour or 25 minutes every day and just make sure you're focused on them for those 25 minutes and that's good enough. That's baloney. The child needs T-I-M-E. You know, I was reading about this man, Charles Francis Adams. He was a 19th century political figure. And he used to keep a diary. He was very faithful about his diary, but he was a big politician. And one day he went fishing with his son, and he entered in his diary, went fishing with my son today. And here's what he put beside the note. A day wasted. Because you see, he thought about a whole day he spent with his son fishing. A day. And he says, he's thinking all the stuff he could have done. He put beside it, a day wasted. But you know, his son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary. And years later, they found the son's diary. On that very day, Brooke Adams wrote in his diary, went fishing with my dad today. It was the most wonderful day of my life. Isn't that amazing? The son, the father regarded it as a waste. The son thought it was the most precious thing. Time spent with your children is not wasted time. It's precious time. And I want to encourage you who are parents. Listen, some of us missed the boat and the kids are old and grown, but some of us are still not making much of an effort to spend time with our children. But I want you to know, my friend, time spent with your children is special time. So make time for them. Take time to read to them. Take time to laugh with them. Take time to play with them. Y'all gone quiet on me. Take T-I-M-E. I didn't intend to say it, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You know, sometimes over the years, I've run into a lot of people and parents, and I said, did you ever take your kid on a vacation? No, we can't afford a vacation. In this country, that is the biggest joke I've ever heard. For crying out loud. Listen, you're going to take them to the shore with a car drive. And you could have found a Motel 6. You could have gone on one of them websites and got the room for $25 a night. But no, you were able to get, when that boxing match came on, you're willing to pay $79 on cable to bring it in. But you can't afford to take the kid to a vacation. These children need some memories. Oh, I'm so glad for the memories we had when we were being raised. Her parents, listen, they took us all over the place and we had memories together. How many memories? What memories are you building? I want to encourage you, because for some of you, it's not too late yet. Take the time with the children. Build memories. And thank God, we're still trying. Some of you realize that we're still at it. Every year, we try and make sure the family gets together for at least one vacation. Even though they're grown. We're so blessed that even during their college years, these kids would come on vacation with their parents. When everybody thought it was so... Why? Because we built a tradition. And I encourage you parents. I'm only giving you some of the things that I found that work for us. Listen, it works. Build memories. Build traditions. But listen, one of the things that we need to teach them, and this brings me to key number two. Oh, listen, we need to instruct them. Our children require instructing. Amen? Our children require instructing. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Admonition of the Lord. The Greek word is nouthesia, and it's translated admonition in the New King James, and it's translated instruction in the New American Standard Bible. The idea behind nouthesia is training by words. Training by words. Part of the training our children require is training by words. Two things I want to say. Number one, this instructing requires first counsel and advice. Counsel and advice. God expects that dads and mom, listen, you're an equal partner in this. But you know, God is directing, as I said before, he's directing a lot to the men because he knows that we dads are likely to sit it out. My God is so excited when I see fathers who are engaged with their children. And thank God, there are so many examples in our church of fathers who are engaged with their children. But dad, we need to take the lead in providing counsel and advice for our children. And there's no better source of counsel than the Word of God. Boy, I tell you, I want to put two scriptures on the board because I think sometimes we miss it. Sometimes when we talk about the Bible, you say, it's so ancient, it's so old. Look at these two scriptures. Number one, Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Let's put it back on the board, and I have it in the New Living Translation. And here's how it reads. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6-9. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly. Talking to parents. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Stop there. Parent, if your instruction from the Word is going to mean anything, it needs to be real in your life. It's not me telling the kid, do one thing and you're doing the other. Amen? That's sometimes we're guilty of. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. You notice the whole idea? What it says? What? What did I just say? It says what? Repeat them what? Again and again. The repetition is critical, you know. Don't get all frustrated because you said it one time and the child didn't get it. Come on now, we've been talking about some of us adults and we've been saying the same thing over and over and over. Some of us still haven't gotten it. Am I right about that? So the Bible says, repeat them to your children over and over and over again. It says, talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're on the road. Talk about it when you're going to bed. Talk about it when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and to your forehead as reminders. Write them on the door. Listen, you get the point. These verses imply that we must be very involved with our children. Don't miss that. There's that implication in the verse that you're involved with your child. I am involved with my child, and I'm using every opportunity to teach them God's word and God's ways. Are you seeing it? I'm using the opportunity while we're driving. I'm using the opportunity while we're on vacation. I'm using the opportunity when we wake up and we're at the breakfast table. I'm using every opportunity to teach them God's ways and God's word. And listen, and here's an interesting thing. This is not about devotions. What the passage is saying is that, Dad, Mom, you're listening to me? Our daily life should be a blackboard on which our children can see the ways of God displayed. Did you hear what I just said? Your life, my life, should be a blackboard on which the children can see the ways of God displayed. They can watch me and they can see the ways of God displayed.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.